Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for the 29th of Cheshvan. I don't know if it's come clear to you, but I pick these responses based on the date on the response and based on the date in the Hebrew calendar, and I have lots of reasons for doing that. I don't take the time usually to tell you about them. Among them are, it's another way to get a piece of learning that might be more accessible to people that would have, that you could have something for pretty much every day, something to learn regularly. That's one reason. Another reason is that I think it gives us more of a access to a sweep of halacha that we might not get if we spend our time just learning bit by bit as we can. And here it gives us a chance to learn bit by bit and yet also to get a broader understanding of the sweep or the range of halacha. So that's what I generally do. Sometimes I cheat, though. As you've probably noticed, I'll sometimes take a tshuva, because I happen to stumble across it in my search in the Bar Ilan. I'll take a tshuva where the date is from the letter writer, the person asking the question, not the person responding, and I'll use that because I think it's very interesting. So this time I'm also cheating a little bit, as it were, but even though, and the way that I'm cheating now is that I found discussions of the 29th of Cheshvan that I think become interesting. So for that, we're going to have to learn a Magen Avraham, and then based on that Magen Avraham, we'll see two different tshuvot that deal with the question of the 29th of Cheshvan in Halakha, in this question of how you date a certain yahrzeit. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham, and then we'll get to the two tshuvot, the two responses. The starting point in Shulchan Aruch is a rule in Orach Chaim Tov Kuf Samach Chet, 568, paragraph 7, where the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kishi'ira yom shemeit avivo imo bi'adar. If a person has yahrzeit, right, yom shemeit avivo imo, so these are actually in Hilchot Ta'aniyot, the laws of fast days, because there is a long-standing custom, going back to the time of the Gemara, to fast on the day that one has yahrzeit. This is in some contrast to the later custom to offer a tikkun to people on the day that one's parent passed away. But the idea of the Mishnah in the Gemara was that it was a day to fast. We can have a whole discussion about that another time. Fundamentally, I think it shows the idea that children are thought of in halacha as being continuations of their parents. The fact that they're continuations of their parents means that the day the parent passed away is an important and relevant day in the life of the child. So the child fasts in recognition of the day and of what's going on. So the Shulchan's question was, let's say the parent passed away in Adar, and then you get to a Shana Me'uberet. So Yitaneh Be'Adar Bet. Shulchan Aruch says you fast in Adar Bet, seeming to mean that on that year, the Adar Bet is the real Adar, as it were. One of the ways that shows itself, by the way, is the fact that, and this will become relevant throughout our discussion, so it's worth paying attention to, that in halacha, actually, most of the days, most of the Jewish days, most of the months on the Jewish calendar have a fixed number of days in our fixed calendars. God willing, one day soon we'll get back to establishing the calendar by people seeing the actual moon and then coming to bear testimony in court. But right now, we operate in a fixed calendar. And that fixed calendar, most months have a set number of days. So, for example, in Tishrei, no, Tishrei is a bad example, sorry. In Elul, Elul is always 29 days. Av is always 30 days, meaning there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul always. Tammuz is always 29, Sivan is always 30, and it's alternating like that. There are two exceptions to that rule. The month of Cheshvan, the month of Tishrei, the months of Cheshvan and Kislev can be either 29 or 30 days, depending on the year. And that's a part of the same issue with why you could sometimes have 2 months of Adar in the Jewish calendar year. The point of the Jewish calendar is that certain events have to happen in a certain range of times. And the ways that you make these things happen in the right way is there are, in the fixed calendar, three basic ways we can play with the calendar. You can add a month of Adar, and that month of Adar is This is what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about. That month of Adar, the month you add, is really the first Adar that you add. And part of the reason that we know that is that that first month of Adar that's added in is a month with 30 days. Whereas on a regular year, and also on a year where there's two Adars, the second Adar has only 29 days. So that's one way we can play with the calendar, and evidence for this Shulchan Aruch that it's the Adar Bet that's in some sense the real Adar. The other way you can play with the calendar is by either having 29 or 30 days to Cheshvan, and either having 29 or 30 days to Kislev. So that only gives you, you can either have both of them be have only 29 days, so you to have two less days in the year. You can have one of each, and then you'll have a normal amount, or you could have both of them have 30 days, which you'll have two more days in the year, or one more day, right? So that's another minor way of adjusting the calendar. So, the Magen Avraham, on this paragraph in the Shulchan Aruch, says that the reason why you celebrate it in Adar Sheni, you observe the Yahrzeit in Adar Sheni, in the sense of fasting for the Yahrzeit, the reason why you do it in the Adar Sheni, he says, is because it's like somebody who takes makes an oath to fast or to do something until Adar. So we hold that if that person knows at the time that he or she says it, that their year is a leap year. So in our times, for example, when the calendar is known, if you have somebody who's reasonable knowledgeable, today you could have people who say, I didn't remember that it was a leap year, but let's assume you have somebody reasonable knowledgeable, if they know that there's an Adar Sheni, then it's like they said until Adar, when they said until Adar, they meant until the second Adar. Magen Avraham is not quite sure he understands it though, because in Yerideya, Reish Chaf Seif Chet, the Beis Yosef had pointed out that while the Rambam holds this way, most poskim held that even if a person knows the year is a leap year, the person said, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock every morning until Adar, it's until Adar Rishon. So if that's true, they seem to be implying that the words until Adar mean Adar Rishon. So we might think that means that the first Adar is the real Adar. Maybe. Truth is there, as we'll see, that might just be a function of what people mean by what they say. Whereas here they're not actually saying anything because it's by virtue of the calendar year, of the calendar date of when the father or mother passed away. And then he says, and all that only works, the whole discussion is only if the first year wasn't a leap year when there were two Adars. But let's suppose, and then so he started fasting, or the first year after the death, he started fasting in Adar, so that's like a neder, he says. But let's suppose the first year was also Me'uberet, also a leap year. You can occasionally have two leap years in a row. That's not actually true. He just means, let's suppose that a person passed away in Adar, and then the first year afterwards, it was a Me'uberet year, and he comes to ask us, what should he do? It can't be because we assume he's already accepted it upon himself or herself to fast in that second one because he hasn't accepted anything. He's coming to ask us. So there's no way you can say that that's the reason. So the question is, what leads the Shulchan Aruch to rule that if the person passed away in an ordinary year, then a year comes along that's a Me'uberet year, that's a leap year, that you fast in the second one? The Magen Avraham wants to understand that rule better. He doesn't understand exactly where it comes from. He doesn't think it's a function of, because that's what a neder means. Because we have reason to think that's not what a neder thing means. So he thinks there's a Gemara in Ta'anit that gives a more of indication that the second Adar is the one we treat as the second Adar. Whereas the Trumas Adeshin thought it wasn't true. He thought the first one was the real Adar for these purposes. And the reason he thought that was, there's the Gemara that talks about Megillah in a year where there's two Adars. Which month of Adar would we celebrate Purim in the sense of reading the Megillah? So there, the Gemara says that there's a pasuk in the Megillah, the Gemara says that we have a good, solid reason to read the Megillah and therefore celebrate the salvation of Purim in the second Adar, because we say, Demesmach Geula LeGeula Adif, to connect. The redemptions is better, meaning if we celebrated Purim by reading the Megillah and remembering the salvation in the first Adar, then we'd have an empty month, and then we'd have Nisan with the memory of the salvation from Egypt. The Gemara says it's better to put the two salvations together. The Shulchan Aruch says, but that sounds like if you didn't have that idea, then we would have done it in the first Adar. So the Trumas Adeshin thought that was a proof that the first Adar was in some sense the real Adar. Now I said the calendar gives the indication that it's not, and it might be that the answer to that could theoretically have been that no, the Gemara says that, it then teaches us that we should make the second Adar into the real Adar for all purposes because we want to have Mesmach Gula Litzvila, and we want the month of Adar that we think of as the regular Adar as being the month of a connection to salvation, etc. Anyway, so you can have a whole discussion about that, but that's what you have in the Magen Avraham. And then the Shut Maharil says that doesn't prove anything anyway, because he thinks there you might have had a reason to think you'd have to do it in the first month, because we have a general halachic principle of ein ma'avirin ala mitzvot, that every opportunity to do a mitzvah, I can't just let it go by and figure I'll do it later. So if that's true, that's why we're here to tell you, you wait till the second one to read Megillah, because you have this other halachic reason to think that you would. Another possibility in the Gemara is that if we hadn't had a verse, we might have thought that we do it in both and treat both of them like the month of Adar. And he suggests, the Magen Avraham suggests, that if you look at Megillat Tanit, Megillat Tanit is a list that used to be in practice, but is no longer really in practice, of days on which the Jewish people don't fast and don't eulogize. People, it was a long list because of various good things that had happened in them. And in Megillat Tanit, he says, it sounds a little bit like you would observe it in both Adars. Whatever days in Megillat Tanit, that you would observe those days on both Adars, because it says there in Megillat Tanit, and this is a Mishnah also, but you have another example of Megillat Tanit, Ein ben Adar Rishon Lasheni, there's no difference in the reading between the first Adar and the second Adar, Ela Mikra Megillah, just that you read Megillah and the second one and the first. That sounds like all the other days in Megillat Tanit where you wouldn't fast, you wouldn't have Hespedim, you wouldn't have eulogies, that you would have them be relevant to both months of Adar. Not only that, Yudalin Tedvav, Asarim Behesped Vitani, Bishnehen, the days of Purim, not the greeting of the Megillah, but the days of Purim, we still hold today. We don't say Tachanun in either month. Sounds like both months. So, Lachain, the Magen Avraham, thinks maybe Medina, Yesh Letano, Bishnehen, you should probably fast in both, because really treat both months like they're the yard site. Meaning, on the, to, for that would be like we can't decide. In fact, they're both Adars in that sense. But, he says, since the day that the fasting on the yahrzeit is just a minhag, so you don't have to do it, and so you could, you don't, if you don't want to fast on both days, you don't have to do that. So therefore, he says, in other words, Magen Avraham basically thinks it's a good reason to think that the two Adars have to be treated as both being the real month of Adar. But when it comes to a custom like this, you don't have to go that far to fast on both days. So then he says, so you do whatever you did starting out with, because that's what you, that was your first time doing it, and that was setting up your personal practice around this issue. There's lots of possibilities. What if you did the first time? So, and then he says, but if a person took a vow to fast the day, the yahrzeit of his Rebbe, of his teacher, so that he thinks would be maybe in both Adars. And again, Sefer Chasidim says that his father passed away in Adar Rishon, and that in the first, in a regular year, you would fast, he says, Bishvat Uva Adar. Right, so that's Sefer Chasidim is treating Adar Rishon as being not clearly Adar, and you're not sure if it's Adar. So therefore, he says you should fast Shvat Adar, which is a new way of looking at it, which we don't rule like at all. Magen Avraham adds, he thinks that all this, by the way, is only for fasting, but it's not like, remember that in the time of the Magen Avraham, it was still true that only one person said Kaddish and Shul at a time. So a person at Yartzeit had the right to take over Kaddishim. Had the right to take over Kaddishim from other people, because they could say, it's our Kaddishim, why are you taking my Kaddishim away from me? Right? So therefore he says, yeah, they don't have the right to take any Kaddish from anybody, because it's not, they can only, I mean, they'll do it, they can take it in one month, but they can't take it in all the months, because, in both months, because that's not their right, because it's not so clear that they have the right to those Kaddishim. And then at the very end, the Magen Avraham throws in, which is going to lead us to our question, let's say somebody's father passed away, somebody's parent passed away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, meaning in a year where Cheshvan has 30 days, the parent passed away on the 30th of Cheshvan, which we call first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And then the next year, Cheshvan doesn't have 30 days. So he says, when do you fast for the Yahrzeit? So if you say fast on the 29th of Cheshvan, which is a day before Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which would be like the previous year. The previous year, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev was the day before the real first of Kislev, so fast on the day before the real first of Kislev. Oh, Nabal, or maybe we say, but it was called Rosh Chodesh. It's true it was the 30th of Cheshvan by the calendar, but it was called, we don't call it that. Very few people will say, what's today? Oh, it's the 30th day of Cheshvan. They'll say, it's the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So maybe you should fast on Rosh Chodesh. So Magen Avraham says he thinks that what the answer is, because remember his model is that we're doing it by... Sorry, his model is that it's a nether model. His model is that it's a vow that one is taking to fast, so therefore he says, if the first year after the passing of the father of the parent was a chaser year. So the parent passes away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The first year after that, there is no first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So he says, he thinks that it's 29th of Cheshvan, because it sounds a lot, the Gemara Nedarim, that the 30th day is really thought of as the month beforehand. For all that we casually today will call it Rosh Chodesh, that he thinks, he suggests that it's the 29th of Cheshvan that you would have the Yahrzeit Zeitan. But if that first year was also Mleah, that's where I got mixed up before, when I said you could have 2 years in a row of a two Adars, you can't have that, but you can have 2 years in a row where Cheshvan has 30 days to it. So if this next year, it's also 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so obviously you're going to fast that year on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. So then it establishes it a Rosh Chodesh day. You've had an opportunity to establish the Rosh Chodesh day. And therefore, even years that come afterwards, there'll be Rosh Chodesh. Because in that situation, he says, since people call it Rosh Chodesh, it gets the name of Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, in his mind, what he seems to be saying is, if that first year there is no 30th of Cheshvan, then you're not going to do... You could have imagined doing the first day of Rosh Chodesh, the only day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev that's left because of it. But he says, but you never established that it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and therefore you'll do it in Cheshvan, because that's what it really was. It was really in Cheshvan that the parent passed away. But if that first year, there is a first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so obviously you'll do it then, because that's the actual day, that's the actual perfect replica of the day on which the parent passed away. But once that's happened, so then already it gets the name of Rosh Chodesh attached to it, and therefore that's what we would do, and that's what he says. So and therefore, and afterwards, so then he says that if the person died, passed away, the parent passed away in the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar can only happen in a leap year, because that first month will be a month with 30 days. So it's the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is really the 30th of Adar Aleph. So if in a regular year there is no 30th, so he says in that situation he thinks in the future year the person should fast on the first day of Adar Rishon, meaning because Shvat is always 30 days, so you'll have a first day of Adar Rishon. So this was, even though the person really passed away the 30th day of Adar Rishon, right, the Yahrzeit he's saying is going to become the first day of Rosh Chodesh, because there is a first day of Rosh Chodesh, and not in the 28th, 29th, because other Rishon, he says, stands instead of other Sheni. That's the way he has it in the Magen Avraham. Okay, so that's the situation that we have, and that's the way you get to a 29th. That's two ways. That's what I originally gave this was as a shir, and I called it two ways to a 29th, a Yahrzeit and 29th of Cheshvan, because you can either have a Yahrzeit on the 29th of Cheshvan, or the Magen Avraham is telling us, if one has a Yahrzeit really on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, in a year where there are 2 days to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, but the next year there is no Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the Magen Avraham's idea is that the Yahrzeit would forever be from then on the 29th. The person would observe the Yahrzeit on the 29th of Cheshvan, except for those years when there is a 30th, when there is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. That's the Magen Avraham. Now you have two tshuvot to deal with this. The Malamid Lahoel, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, in the first volume, in Orach Chaim, Siman Kuf Yud Dalid, has this question as well. Somebody whose father passes away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh of Adar Sheni, when's the Yahrzeit? So he quotes this Magen Avraham. He mentions Magen Avraham. He says it's clear that Magen Avraham held that the Yahrzeit in a regular year should be on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. But then the Malamed Lo'el, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, says, but that seems to contradict what he'd already said in this same paragraph, that if a person passed away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and the next year you'll do it when there is no 30th of Cheshvan, you'll do the Yahrzeit on the 29th of Cheshvan, because the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev is really the last day of Cheshvan. Meaning, what's the Malamed Lo'el saying? So I don't understand. Why shouldn't we say then that the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni is really the last day of Adar Rishon, right? That's what it is, the 30th of Adar Rishon. And then, in future years, do the Yahrzeit on the 29th of Adar, the last day of Adar, in years where there's no Adar Bet. Right? In other words, that's what the beloved, isn't that what the Magen Avraham said about Cheshvan? When you have a Yahrzeit on the 30th day of Cheshvan, and the next year there is no 30th day of Cheshvan, he says it's more of a Cheshvan idea than it is a Rosh Chodesh idea. So do it on the 29th of Cheshvan. If that's true, then if somebody had Yahrzeit on the first day of Adar Sheni, the first day of Rosh Chodesh of Adar Sheni, which is really the 30th of Adar Aleph, So then the yard site, and the following year there is no Adar Aleph and Adar Bet, and there is no 30th of Adar, so do it on the 29th of Adar, same way. That's what the Malamed Oel was bothered by. Do it on the 29th of Adar instead of on, which is what the Magen Avraham actually says, instead of doing it on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is actually the 30th day of Shvat. So the Malamed Oel is puzzled by this. He says, you know, if we were still in a time when we created months by virtue of the witnesses coming and saying that they saw the new moon, and we made an Adar Malay, the yard site should be on the 30th of Adar, right? Any day, meaning now we have, forget the 1 month, 2 month things. In any future year, person passes away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheini, that really should be 30th of Adar. In any future years where they don't know when they're going to make Rosh Chodesh yet, they have witnesses coming, the witnesses, so in those world, in that world, Adar can always be either 29 or 30. If you made a 30, you'd obviously do it then. So he says, so it's the same thing. So why is it any different here? And Malamed Lahol says, Rav Tzvi says, he thinks that in any case where you can't fast on the exact day, because there's no exact day in the calendar because of the kinds of issues that we've been raising, so then you have to pick the closest day that you can. So if somebody passes away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and then the coming year, Cheshvan doesn't have 30 days, the question is the word Rosh Chodesh more similar, or is the Cheshvan part more similar? Because you want the more similar thing. So he says, Chavtet Cheshvan is the last day of Cheshvan, and so since the day of passing was really the last day of Cheshvan, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so he says he thinks it's more like that to do it on the 29th of Cheshvan. That's what the Magen Avraham was saying, that the name Cheshvan was more important to the element of the day than the name Rosh Chodesh. But if a person passes away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, so then, now, this is Malamed Hall's answer for the Magen Avraham. So then, if you have the person fast on Rosh Chodesh Adar in a simple year, it's true. It's not the end of the month, right? And if you set fast on Kaftel Adar, you're missing the Rosh Chodesh part of it, because the Adar Sheni, the simple Adar, is standing instead of the Adar Sheni. They're both the ones close to Nisan. So this is the one close to Nisan. And then, so the 29th of Adar is not very much like the first day of Rosh Chodesh of Adar Rishon, because it's the 29th, right? It's more similar to the 29th of Adar Sheni, because it's the one right close to Pesach. And therefore, the Magen Avraham held, you do the Yortzeit on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, because it's more similar to that, because it's got the name of Adar, and it's got the name of Rosh Chodesh. Now, it doesn't have it's not actually Adar, because it's actually the last day of Shvat. But that's what he says. So he says, "Vikasha Yom Al Rosh Chodesh Adar Yom Lamed the Shvat." Rav David Tzvi Hoffman asked that very question, but it's really in Shvat. So he says, first of all, we had that Sefer Chassidim that we saw in the Magen Avraham, who said indeed that you would fast in Shvat, you would observe the Yortzeit in Shvat and Adar. So even though everybody disagrees, it shows you though that this Shvat Adar line isn't so important, that the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar has some sense of being Adar in it too, which would theoretically be true of Cheshvan as well, but you don't have the same problems there as you do here, and therefore you're handling it differently. And he says, since you can't pick a day that's exactly Adar Rishon, because 29th of Adar, like we said, is really like the 29th of Adar Sheni, and it's not really like the 30th of Adar Rishon in all sorts of ways, because it's not as distant from Pesach and from Nisan and all that, so therefore that's the way the Magen Avraham did it. So the Malamed Lahoel doesn't question the Magen Avraham, he accepts the Magen Avraham and explains it to us, that the issue at hand is that you'd like to, with this custom of fasting to commemorate the passing of a parent, the goal is to fast on the day, and if the day isn't available, to get as close as you can to it. Now, as close as you can to it in a month like Cheshvan, as close as you can to it, would be to stick with the month. That's why you'll do the 29th of Cheshvan. But in a month like Adar, you're going to get all sorts of problems, because if you have a first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, and you're going to treat that as the 29th of Adar, which we would have done in Cheshvan cases, you get into problems because, first of all, you lose the Rosh Chodesh aspect, but maybe you have to, but also because that Adar is now right up next to the day before Nisan, and that's not what the Adar Aleph was. The Adar Aleph, when the person passed away, the 30th of Adar Aleph, when the parent passed away, was really a month removed from Nisan, and therefore, that's why the Magen Avraham ruled that you'll do it on the first day first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar in a regular year. That's a month removed from Nisan. It's got the name of Rosh Chodesh to it. It's true. It actually belongs to Shvat, but that's much more hidden by the language of the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. And that's the way the Zohar Tzvi Hoffman leaves it. But then I later found that the Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, in Yeridea Gimel Kuf Nun Tet, third volume of Yeridea, 159, he had a tshuva in Sivan of Tavshin Lamed Daled of 1974 to his son, Rav David Feinstein, which talked about various things, but one piece of it was about this question that we have here. So he says, somebody who passes away on the 30th of Cheshvan or the 30th of Kislev in a year where there is a 30th, and then you have a year where there's not. So Rav Moshe deals with that question, right? That one year, the year the parent passed away, there was 30 days to Cheshvan or to Kislev, so there were 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Kislev or 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Tevet. And then you come to a year where it's not, there's only 29 days. The Magen Avraham had said that if the first yard site was also a 30-day month, so then the connection to Rosh Chodesh becomes so strong that you'll always observe it on Rosh Chodesh. And if it wasn't, then you'll turn it to a 29-day thing. You know, the yard site will become 29 because he passed away on the 29th of the month, because you go with the month in that situation. Taz, by the way, that we didn't see before, but the Taz held it's always going to be the 29th. It doesn't matter what happened the first year afterwards. He just thinks first day of Rosh Chodesh is really the previous month. Since it's really the previous month, it's not when you keep it. Rav Moshe says he thinks that since we call the 30th day Rosh Chodesh, and we do it because in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, in the time when they established months, they didn't know which day was going to be which. So he thinks that, you know, the person passing away in Rosh Chodesh becomes firmly established right away. He thinks it's Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh. And that if the person passed away on first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev or first day of Rosh Chodesh Tevet, they've died in Tevet. Even though, calendrically, we number it the 30th day to whatever, he thinks nonetheless. And he thinks that because he said that the opinion of the Magen Avraham, and remember the Magen Avraham wrote in the early 1600s, or Moshe's writing in the 1970s, right? So 300 and something years later, he's willing to take on the Magen Avraham occasionally. So it's very surprising because on the 29th, this person was alive. So how can we turn it into a yahrzeit because he thinks it violates the general principle of we don't push up Puranut. We don't, when we have sad or upsetting or unfortunate events that occur, we don't want to confront them earlier than we have to. So if a person passed away on the 30th of Cheshvan, to make us all of a sudden of a yahrzeit on the 29th of Cheshvan, you're forcing me into it a day early. Rav Moshe is uncomfortable with that. And so he says he thinks you should go with the Rosh Chodesh element. I mean, that person's yahrzeit would always be Rosh Chodesh Kislev. If there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, then they do it on the first. And there's only one day, then you do it on that one day. And if the person passed away on Lamed of Adar Aleph, the 30th day of Adar Aleph, so remember that the Magen Avraham had said, you'll observe it on Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, the previous month. But that's going to be problematic for Rav Moshe because he said we don't push things up. So in the regular year, he says, there is no 30th day of Adar. So he Rav Moshe Feinstein, thinks, yesh nikboa be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why? Because on the first of Adar, the person was still alive. And even on the 29th of Adar, he was alive, or she was alive. So even though there you could have had the reason to agree with the Magen Avraham, the yahrzeit should be the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, because an Adar in the regular year is instead of the Adar Sheni in the Beret year, in the leap year. But he thinks it's got to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because the person was alive all of Adar. Since the person was alive all of Adar, then you can't push it up. He says, but since the Magen Avraham wrote it, we should probably follow the Magen Avraham, because the Magen Avraham is more authoritative than me, right? He's a bigger goal, whatever it is, but we should follow the Magen Avraham. But he says, maybe, since there is another manuscript version of the Magen Avraham, others had the version, there's the Lushi Strat and the Prima Gadim, and I skipped it, but the Walamed Loyal had known there was another Girsa as well. It doesn't say that. It says a completely other din. To be made by Yom Rishon, Rosh Chodesh Adar, if it passed away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, then be Yom Rishon, Rosh Chodesh Adar, v'lo b'chavtet Shvat. On the 29th, that would be an obvious thing that you wouldn't do it. And that would mean that the Magen Avraham never got around to talk about what to do if the person passed away on the 30th of Adar Rishon. So maybe you could say that you don't have to do that, and if we can go either way, and that's the way Rav Moshe Feinstein leaves it. So we end up having, for the 29th of Cheshvan, a significant discussion about what to do about the yahrzeit, about when, sticking with the 29th of Cheshvan, just to close it up, the question always being, what month is that considered? When you have a first day of Rosh Chodesh of something, is it really the previous month, because that we count it calendrically as the 30th day? Or is the fact that we refer to it as a Rosh Chodesh, make it into a Rosh Chodesh day? Rav Moshe, so the Magen Avraham, it fell, that depends on what happens the first year. If the first year, it's again Rosh Chodesh, that would make it into a Rosh Chodesh thing, because our observing the Yartzeit in that day gives it that linguistic element to it, meaning that fundamentally it's not really a Rosh Chodesh, it's really the 30th of the previous month, but if we observed it as a Rosh Chodesh one time, the first time, that established it as a Rosh Chodesh event, not as a month event. But if that wasn't true, if the following year, the following year, there was no first day of Rosh Chodesh of Kislev, then he says it'll be 29th of Cheshvan, because what it really was the last day of the month of Cheshvan. So from then on, in months when there is a first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, you would observe it then, but in years where there's not, you would observe it on the 29th of Cheshvan. Comes along with Moshe Feinstein and says, other than the fact that we should follow the Magen Avraham, because we could follow the Magen Avraham, but other than, and maybe we can ignore the Magen Avraham, if it's true there are two manuscripts and it is one version of the Magen Avraham, he never discussed this issue at all, but fundamentally Moshe's instinct was that we shouldn't be observing Yartzeit ever earlier in the year than they occurred, because we don't do that kind of thing. Because if a person was alive at a certain time in the original year when they passed away, we would not allow ourselves to think of that as a Yartzeit. So, as I said at the beginning, 2 days to get to a 29th of Cheshvan Yartzeit. One is to have a parent pass away on the 29th of Cheshvan, the other is to have a parent pass away on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, on the 30th of Cheshvan, and either for Moshe Feinstein, for the Magen Avraham and the Melamed Lahoel, and in that first year afterwards, have it be a Pashat year, a year without a first day of Rosh Chodesh, and in which case one would also observe it on the 29th of Cheshvan. Have a great day.